You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Well, I have guests today, but we're having trouble making our guests part of our show. So until I get them, I'm just going to talk. Lucky you. So how's your day going? I was supposed to be talking this morning with Christy Denoy and Rachel Washington. They have a beautiful blog, a wonderful blog called Hail Mary, M-A-R-R-Y. Hopefully they're trying to call in as I speak. I don't even know exactly how I found these two beautiful women. I'm pretty sure it's obviously through the blog world. We were connected into a blog together. They probably remember because they're way younger than I am. And I'm sure they have better memories than I do. I know they're trying to call in. Alex, I don't know if you can grab that line or not. So we're going to be looking at their website, their blog, their podcast, and, you know, talking about marriage. Marriage is a fun thing, quite honestly. I don't know. I've been married now for, 27 years. And we're high school sweethearts. That's kind of an interesting, you know, you don't think you're going to meet your one and only in high school. Christy and Rachel, do I have you on the line?
Yes.
Well, welcome to the show. It's great to have you. Sorry, I don't know what's going on with our Skype. Maybe we can figure it out over the commercial break. But I hope I'm saying, Christy, I hope I have your last name correct. Is it Denoy?
Yeah, it is.
Yay. I don't do that very often, get somebody's name right. So welcome, Christy and Rachel Washington, to our show. Maybe we could start with you, Christy. Could you introduce yourself a little bit?
Sure. Well, my name is Christy Denoy. I am a newlywed. We got married in October.
Congratulations.
I like to call myself an HR manager extraordinaire. I'm also an office manager. I work for my dad's company. I'm totally going to be that person. My dad's listening right now. So hi, Dad. And I'm the mother to a beautiful 7-year-old daughter who we call Little Miss.
Sweet.
Yeah, that's me in a nutshell.
Wonderful. And Rachel Washington, why don't you explain yourself? Explain yourself, woman.
I'm in trouble. my name is Rachel Washington. I just got married in November 2014, so I am kind of a newlywed. I'm still in the honeymoon stages, but I stay at home. I'm a homemaker, and actually, I do lots of arts and crafts. I'm one of those people who I Pinterest and Etsy a lot, and we say, I'm with the dog, and I dress up the painting, and we write a blog, pretty much.
Well, it's wonderful to have you both here. Again, my guests today are from the website, the blog, Hail Mary, M-A-R-R-Y. Love that. So clever. Now, you both are truly newlyweds. I've been at this marriage thing now for, I think, 27 years. This year will be 28. And we have been together since, get this, 16 and 18 years old, which I'll do the math
That's
for you.
Awesome.
That's 32 years. I like them, so it's a good thing because
it helps
a lot. I don't always like him. there's days he's not really my favorite, but for the most part, I kind of find him. I'm kind of attracted to him. Kind of like him a lot. So why marriage? Like why talk about that? Why blog about that?
Well, I am definitely a fan of the Write What You Know thing, and we're both researchers at heart. So I noticed that when I was going to marriage prep, there was a whole lot of it. And Rachel's dad is a deacon, so she was, you know, marriage prepped and then some. But
Once
we got married, yeah, you know, there's not really the same level of intensity, and there's not really a whole lot of support.
For newlyweds, basically, it's,
you know, like, back in the day, I don't know, anybody else always me. My grandpa taught me how to swim by just throwing me into a pool. Basically, that's what it is. You get married, you're out on your own.
Yeah.
You're either going to sink or swim, and that's the only way to do it. And so we decided that maybe it was easier for us. I was like, well, maybe we should write about it. I'm sure there's other newlyweds out there that have the same problems, like dealing with your husband emptying the dishwasher and then putting everything in different drawers and drive you crazy. What happened to me, like, in my life. But, you know, just to have that support and maybe have some fun along the way, we like to laugh. And we love, 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 like we said, to research. And mm-hmm. we actually met in a group called Catholic Daughters in America. And we used to do presentations, and we used to get into these presentations real hard. And
yeah. So we were at this one meeting, and they just were going, I mean, the regent was talking about how we should get scapulars for the graduating seniors. And that spawned this like 25-minute conversation on what scapulars were. And someone was like, no, that's just a Mexican thing. And we were like, no, that's a Catholic thing. And so people were very confused. And we were like, you know what? How about next month we just give you a presentation on what a scapular is? And they were like, okay. So we knew that we worked well together, and that we had that temperament where we could bounce ideas off of one another and come up with something that was really informative and, you know,
fun. Well, it's fun. We like to have fun. I'm very goofy, and Tracy's goofy evens itself out.
Yeah.
So I'm going to back up for just a minute, because I have this thing about when we say churchy words that we need to explain them, because not everybody understands what a scapular is. So besides that bone on your back, can one of you kind of just give us a little bit about what a scapular is and why you considered it an important thing for the graduating class? Excuse me.
Well, I think that the reason that the regent considered it for the graduating class is because they're relatively inexpensive. And we needed to pay for 50, quite honestly.
Very honest answer. Thank you for that. Love it.
But what it is it's a personal devotion, and it's tied to Our Lady. It's kind of like a necklace, but not mm-hmm. really. So it has like a little square that usually has a picture of Our Lady appearing to, and the ones I've seen, it's usually like St. Simon Stock. And they're brown. They were popularized in the Carmelite order. And mm-hmm. there's one on the back as well, like this little rectangle of fabric.
And sometimes they're not fabric, sometimes they're. So, like the ones that we were going to get are the plastics or plastic tape on both sides. So mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's fabric encased in plastic.
Yeah.
It's basically like a miraculous metal, which I can explain since that's a churchy word too, which is basically a small medallion that has a picture of Mary as Our Lady of Grace, and then it's a pray for us, and it's got some stars on it, and it's just a reminder to pray, and it's a reminder that salvation history, in at least in the New Testament, you know, was pretty much started by one young girl's yes, and so that helps us remember her example of being obedient to God's will, and it helps us try and emulate that in our own life.
That is beautiful. Very nice explanation. I like the idea of being covered in Mary's veil, kind of being that cloth that covers us front and back, and her prayers and her intercession, and just like being connected to heaven in that way. I kind of like that visual for myself. I love it. It's very cool. My sons wear metal ones because they both have sensory issues, and they're 18 and 21 now, but for their confirmation, I noticed that my pastor had on this really cool medal. He just kind of was sticking out one day. I'm like, what is that? And he's like, oh, that's a scapula. You can get them in metal form. I said, I had no idea. So that's what I gave my boys for their confirmation gifts, were metal scapulars that they can, one still wears it. I'm praying for the other. So he picked St. Augustine.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. He picked St. Augustine for his confirmation name. That should have given me an idea of what I was in for.
Well, you're just going to have to be a St. Monica and pray that he meets his St. Ambrose.
Yeah.
Amen. Absolutely. That's too funny. Absolutely. Yeah. He said to me, I want both of St. Augustine's lives. And I thought, okay, I'm glad you want the second half. I'm a little freaked out about the first. So you pick the title, Hail Mary. We have about 2 minutes left in the segment. Tell us about the name of your blog, where that comes from.
Well, we were tossing some ideas around. We wanted it to be kind of like a pun and a little bit clever.
Very clever.
So when we pulled the trigger, so to speak, on actually doing the blog, it happened to be on a Marian feast day. So it was on the feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe. So we were like, well, I guess that's going to be the patron for our blog. So having Mary as a patron, obviously we were like, well, maybe we could tie Mary into it. And since Hail Mary is a very sometimes misunderstood, but very well-known prayer to Mary. Yeah. And since we were talking about marriage,
and sometimes we had to pull Hail Mary and marriage, so we thought, yeah, it's really good. Let's do Mary, M-A-R-R-Y. M-A-R-R-Y.
So. And I was also born on the Feast of the Assumption, so it's just kind of like an extra little, oh, yeah, just one more layer of Mary.
Oh, that's so neat. My son was born on the Immaculate Conception, and he was born 2 months. He was born 2 months early, and I had just come back to the church and come a revert. So I had just come back. It was my first time going to Mass ever, actually, on December 8th for the Immaculate Conception, Holy Day of Obligation. And I'm in labor in the hospital, and I said, I'm sorry, I can't have this baby yet. I haven't been to Mass. She said, oh, God will understand. We're talking this morning with Christy Dinoy and Rachel Washington. And we'll be right back on Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're joined this morning by not one, but two guests. You get the two for one today. We have Christy Dinoy and Rachel Washington. They have a wonderful blog and podcast we'll talk a little bit about called Hail Mary. Very clever. Love that. M-A-R-R-Y. Sweet stuff. And we were talking about how they're newlyweds and how I'm an old maid.
No, you're inspiration, Allison.
Inspiration, yeah.
Oh, yes. I'm inspirationally old. It's so sweet. So I have to talk about, speaking about being an older person, and I have to comment on yesterday or this week's blog about the Goldbergs. I absolutely love this stupid show. Every single time I watch it, I cry at the end because I'm just a sap. But I'm pretty much the same age. I'm smack dab in between Adam F. Goldberg's real brothers, Eric and Barry. I was born right in the middle of the two of them. So this show really speaks to, I don't have a smother though, but it speaks to a lot of my growing up. What were you guys, did this great post on the ABCs of lessons in marriage based on the Goldberg. Can you tell us a little bit about
the vocation of marriage and ABCs of the Goldberg?
So tell us about, what you saw that the Goldbergs teach about marriage.
Well, I just love the way that they are with one another.
They're so in tune with each other. And even, I will say that, even that they're a Jewish family, but they are so in love with each other, but they are so, it just reminds me of my grandma and grandpa because of how they are, that they will bicker, and the mom's like, oh, no, you need to do this, and the dad's like, oh, okay, yes. And it's just so silly, but it's true. But they show unconditional love toward each other.
Yeah.
That they would do anything for each other, no matter what the silly situation may be.
Well, absolutely. And so one example of that is the wife, Beverly. Her husband doesn't like change. Her husband's name is Murray. And so she buys all of these same shoes, but like multiple pairs of the same shoes. And then at night when he's not there or when he's at work, she breaks them in so that when they get worn out, she can replace them and he won't know the difference. Like, that's insane. It's hilarious, you know?
That's That's pretty funny. I like her parenting style. She errs on the side of love. And I'm one of those parents, like, I feel like I made so many mistakes when my kids were little. I was not a young mother either. I was 27, but I didn't have the greatest of role models. And I just kind of jumped into it. And just actually recently, Abbey Press asked me to write a care note. It's called Being a Good Enough Parent. And I laughed because I thought, oh, somebody read my blog and thought, oh, she can talk about being just good enough. So that's where I fall in that. But, you know, the lesson about erring on the side of love, you know, it's so hard to be a parent. It's so hard to be a wife. And, you know, sometimes the things that we decide, the things that we do, I think, like, as long as it comes from our heart and we mean well by it, I feel like God can work with that. What do you guys think of that, that theory of mine?
Yeah, I agree. Spot on. Because there's really not that much to add to that, because it's true. Even though you might not think they're mistakes, like in my case, but they are. And that God is just like, let me just show you the right way. Let me show you in love how to respond to your husband, or respond to your in-laws, or your mother, or dogs, or kids, you know. Let me show you the right way to do it. So,
well, I think, you know, biblically speaking, you know, if you're looking at the New Testament, when Jesus is asked by one of his disciples, what is the greatest commandment? Basically, when I teach first grade faith formation, and so basically we have this whole lesson for this one. And Jesus says, you know, the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God, but just as important is love your neighbor as yourself. And so my first graders always get that the thing that's consistent between those two is love. So I think that as long as everything that we do is coming from a place of love, like you said, then we're definitely on the right track, and that's why God can work with it.
Absolutely. And you talked about in-laws. Now, that's a big thing for newlyweds, for newly being married. And I have to say that for most of our dating and our early married life, I really struggled with my in-laws. I just didn't feel like they liked me. I didn't feel like we connected. I thought because they met me at 16 and the first time she saw me, I think I was sitting on her son's bed with a beer in one hand and a cigarette in the other. Gee, I wonder why she didn't like me.
Luckily, you don't have a second chance to make a first impression, but first impressions aren't as lasting as you are led to believe when you're a child.
Exactly. Amen. You know, my reversion was a big deal, because it showed that God gives second chances, and it seems like they did too. But my father-in-law passed away last year, and my mother-in-law took care of him. And she just really, the day of his funeral, I hugged her and I said, you are my hero. And it has become such a different place for us. And it just amazes me, like, what the Lord can do again with that love that we have. Like, I love her son so much that it was worth it for me to continue for 20 something years to try to create a relationship with her, to try to be a part of, you know, their life, because they've given me the greatest gift of my life in their son. I don't know, and you don't have to out how your relationships are with your in-laws, but I don't know if you have any advice or thoughts on that part of marriage, integrating into another person's family.
Well, I'm just going to say that I hit the jackpot with in-laws, so I'm going to let Rachel take this question.
I love my in-laws. I will just give you the advice that my mother gave me when I got married. She says, you need to pray before you speak, because sometimes you can't take words back. And, as much as we love Junebug, that's what I call my grandma, and that's my mom's mother-in-law, they didn't always get along all the time, but they got along for the sake of the kids and for the sake of my dad. And my mom says, you have to work together because you love her son, and they're going to be grandparents, and they're going to work with you for the kids to be as happy and healthy and everything you want them to do.
So that's great. You make a great point, Rachel.
I think you just need to pray, and I pray a lot. But, you know, I think it happens, and I just think it's different personalities when you go in, because they're not going to treat you like your mom treats you, or your dad, or your siblings, you know. Mm-hmm. You're dealing with a whole other person. person that you've never met before, like, really know, you know? Well, and regardless of how much you mean to their son or their wife, you know, or daughter, I mean, depending on where you are on the in-law spectrum, you're an outsider, you know? Yeah. And so it's going to take some time to gain their trust and to establish that relationship, because it is about relationships. And so it's going to take some time, and it's going to take some investing.
And I have to say, now I'm starting to come on the other side of it. My sons are both, they're 21 and 18. They both have girlfriends, and I'm in that state now of how am I going to react with them? How am I going to, you know, open up my heart to them so that there is no wedge, you know, that I do my best not to, to give a lot of advice, because that's not my place to do, but support them in the relationship, yet not, alienate anybody. Because I saw, like, for me, how hard that was to overcome. And I was really blessed that it didn't affect my relationship with Kevin, that he and I still were able to work that out. We're talking today with Kirsty Denoy and Rachel Washington, and their wonderful website is called Hail Mary. And we're talking about marriage, love marriage. So we were talking about a little bit about what it's like to be in a marriage, and kind of that, you know, that folding in of a one person's life with another. Like, I don't know, did you guys find things like chores and, you know, living together with somebody who comes from a totally different background? Like, did you find that fun?
We have two different stories for that, because I was a single mom, so I had this 6-year-old when I met my husband, and I was 30 and he was 35. So we were pretty much set in our own ways, and we had these systems that worked for us. And of course, you know, I thought that mine was the best way. And
he was Christy.
I don't need like a great system. It just has to be good enough, you know? So coming from those two perspectives and blending them together was interesting. And I think the blending is probably the same that Rachel experienced.
Yes. I have, so my husband, I kind of laugh, he has borderline OCD, and I'm at OCD myself. Like, we have a very clean and organized house, because he always laughs, because I was like, oh, my house is a mess. It's like, oh, yeah, that pillow's a few, and you come in.
Exactly. But I'm like, oh, no, the blanket is just to the left of where it should be.
But sometimes we have places where we want things to go, and we have in our mind two different places, like, oh, we have a drawer for my pot holders, but he might want to hang the pot holders, and I've come home, and all of a sudden I have pot holders on my wall, and I'm like, that's an interesting decorating choice for you to make. I was like, no. So, I mean, it's really hard to figure out where something, like, it's just hard to communicate that and be loving about it, because we both kind of are like, oh, that's nice, but we're going to do it this way, or, oh, are you sure about that, bud? it's pretty hard. But
There's certainly a lot of compromise that comes from being married. I'm talking today with Kirsty Denoy and Rachel Washington, and we're talking about marriage, their blog, Hail Mary. We come back, we're going to look more at some of the joys of marriage. They have wonderful speaking topics that they cover. One of them called Finding God in the Bubbles. I need to ask them about that when we come back. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I am joined this morning by Kirsty Christy Dinoy and Rachel Washington. They are the bloggers and podcasters over at Hail Mary. And they also do speaking. And one of their topics is called Finding God in the Bubbles. And I'm going to... Finding God in the Bubbles. And I shorthanded the making mundane tasks into acts of love to strengthen your marriage bond. I think I have it kind of right, because I actually wrote mundane acts of love, and I don't think that's what.
although sometimes it probably does come across as mundane acts of love.
I don't think that's what they meant. My friend teases me. I write constantly, and I've got journals everywhere. And she teases me that they're going to have to do a college course just in deciphering Allison's handwriting, you know, in order to make it open up my saint cause, because it's like hieroglyphics. I think you could probably have a better chance of understanding hieroglyphics than my chicken scratch. So tell us about Finding God in the Bubbles, the actual subtitle, and what you talk about.
Okay, so it is Finding God in the Bubbles, and then finding acts of love and service in the mundane, basically. So the mundane and the minutiae, like dishes,
vacuuming,
cleaning, dusting, making the bed, laundry.
Cleaning up the refrigerator, which is my hated chore of all time.
Can I just tell you a quick story about this? So I get Peapod delivered to my house because I'm lazy. I don't like the grocery store at all. I'll talk about mundane tasks. The poor man shows up at my door. I'm just like elbow deep into my refrigerator because I find a spill that nobody else seemed to have noticed for the last week. I go to these big pink gloves to the door. And he had dropped part of my order all over the place waiting for me to get to the door. It was kind of an ugly moment. So it was a good thing he wasn't my husband, because we probably would not be talking right now. Anyway. So yes, the mundane tasks of, how do you guys split those up? Like, how do you, all right, so you finish your question. I'll ask you a second question after that. Sorry.
Okay.
Squirrel girl moments of the day. Go on.
I don't mind doing the dishes. And this is for a couple of reasons. It was one of the easier chores to do as a kid. So I just kind of, stuck with it. I cook, so I don't mind cleaning up after myself, but sometimes I'm not feeling that great, And so sometimes I allow the dishes to pile up. And then when I'm confronted with that, I'm like, ugh, I don't even want to do this. Why don't we use paper plates all the time, which is not, in line with what we are taught to do to take care of our environment, socially speaking.
That's very funny. So that's true.
I don't mind that, even though I'm overwhelmed by the pile of dishes. I still don't mind that as much as I mind laundry. I don't know why I mind laundry. It's just clothes. It's super easy. So it's mostly hands off until you get to the folding. But that's the part that I hate. And even the folding part, I can maybe make it through the folding, but then the putting away part, I can never get through the entire task of laundry for whatever reason.
Oh,
so my husband
funny.
And I split it up, and he does the laundry and I do the dishes. But I have an autoimmune disease, and sometimes I get really exhausted if I have a flare. And so he'll do the dishes, even though he doesn't really like to do the dishes because of all these particles, and he would rather just do the laundry because it's pretty hands-off, But he'll do the dishes for me, and it's because he likes it.
That's funny. Aw, that's so funny, because that was exactly what I was going to talk about, is that my husband and I, after 10 years of fighting constantly over dishes and laundry, discovered one day that he doesn't mind the dishes, and I hate them, and I don't mind the laundry, and he hated that. Though, since that time, him and my sons have all taken over their own laundry, because they said I didn't get it done fast enough. I left it in the laundry basket too long. But ironically, they all leave it in the laundry basket. But I'm not going to point that out to them, because now I only have to do laundry for two of us and not five of us.
That's a win-win.
Totally a win-win. And they help, the boys help him, and even my daughter now helps with the dishes. So I definitely win-win-win all around.
Yeah. Well, so Rachel's is a little, it's similar, but hers is a little different.
I have a thing with cleaning out the refrigerator. Anything as my mom and dad always make fun of me because I've been like this since I was like two. Anything that has like an expiration date on it, even though it's still past expiration date, I won't eat, drink, look at it because I'll make you throw up. Like, I'll be so I'd be so dramatic about it. And so my poor husband is like, oh, I was like, I can't have the refrigerator. I can't. There's milk in there from like today that's expired. It needs to go. And so he gets so funny. Annoyed with me because he comes from a family. He's the oldest of eight. And their family, you know, they use everything until it's gone. So he can't stand wasting this food. And I'm like, I don't care what you do with it. You can go give it to your family. I just can't have it in my refrigerator. I'm always like that. So he gets so frustrated with me because I, like, have his sisters come over or his brothers. I'm like, okay, so another refrigerator, just go for it. Anything you guys want, just eat it, grab it, get out of my house. So... He's like, you are so ridiculous. And I'm like, well, it's like feeding the hungry. Like, if I can't eat it, I know your family's going to eat it. So it'll be okay. Like, if I cook something and he's just like, oh, I don't like it. I'm like, okay. Then I send it over to my in-laws and it'll be gone within like 10 minutes. And they're like, oh, it's so great. I'm a great cook. Which I'm really, sometimes I can be, but I'm glad you like that. There's another casserole. So we're not eating. So it's kind of different, but like what I do for him is that he hates bathroom cleaning, and I don't mind cleaning the bathroom. All the disgusting things, you know, like I can't have expiration dates. The toilets are fine for me. I don't know why, but
that's pretty funny.
The toilet. So it's, we kind of go back and forth with what we're doing, and so it's kind of funny. We're like, okay, and we both hate laundry, so we make it a date, and we literally on a Saturday do all the laundry in the whole entire house, sheets, towels, everything. And once it comes out of the dryer, we pulled it, and we would run and make a race and try to put it away faster than each other.
That's so cute.
See, we're fun people.
We get pretty fun.
That's very sweet.
This conversation is, you know, we lead in with those anecdotes, and then we talk about how love has to be a choice. You know, I think the world makes us think that love is a feeling, but it's a choice, and it's a constant choice, and it's ongoing, and it has to be intentional. So if I'm faced with a mountain of dishes that I really don't want to do, but I, you know, think about the words of Mother Teresa, who said, don't wash it because it's dirty, wash it because you love the person who's going to use it next.
Oh,
that's
wow.
My intentional act of love.
Yeah. And we both saw that, and we both wanted to print it out and put it in our tank, because I'm like, it is just being totally sacrificial for not only for God, but for your husband. And
which is what we're called to do. I mean, that's how we're going to get each other to heaven, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, I love that expression that they're our soulmate, because they are the ones who need to take the best care of our soul, and we need to take care of their soul. Like, our goal together, there's many things that we might accomplish here on earth, but our ultimate goal for each other is to get each other into heaven.
Right.
And how do you guys feel in your marriages that you kind of do that for each other?
Good question. That's a very good question. We both look at each other like, oh, that's good.
Well, again, you know, I was a single mom and 30 when I met my husband, and he was 35, so we've been doing this whole on our own thing for a while. And I think you could say that we're both a little stubborn.
Yes, they are. I love them both, but they are.
So I think that, you know, and I wouldn't have necessarily considered myself a selfish person before, but we've actually talked about this on a podcast too. When you're married to someone and you're constantly having to think about what you're going to do in terms of how it's going to have an impact on them, it changes.
Yeah.
How you process everything, and it changes how you approach everything. You know, like, I really might want to go get my nails done and get my hair colored and spend a whole bunch of money.
You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. This will be the Why on Earth Are We Not Able to Stay Connected show with my poor guests who have been trying so hard to connect with me. Skype won't let them talk to me. Now their phone won't let them talk to me. It's Christy Denoy and Rachel Washington, and their website is called Hail Mary, M-A-R-R-Y, and they talk about being married. And they're so sweet, and I love their friendship. They have this amazing friendship, which I didn't even get a chance to ask them about. We're going to keep trying to connect with them, so hopefully we will get them back on, and we can ask them about their friendship and a little bit more about what they speak upon. They also have another talk called Faithfully Frugal, Frugal Stewards of God's Gift Within a Family. That's really important because, you know, as a family, it's so interesting when you go from being a single person and you have, you know, you're working and you have your money and you have your bills and everything's about you and all the things that you want to save for, you want to pay for, and then you mingle your marriage, you know, you get married and you mingle your money. Most people mingle their money. And then it becomes a completely different ballgame. Well, Kevin and I never had these discussions, as you know, and really led to some financial disasters for us. You know, I found myself really, really young, 21 years old, married with suddenly, you know, tripling my income because I had my income plus his, which was twice as big as mine. And I was very immature and I wasn't really thinking about the future. I lived in the 80s. I don't know. We talked about the Goldbergs at the beginning of the show. And if you don't know much about the 80s, it was a time where we really felt like there was this nuclear war was imminent. Like it was coming any day now. And so live like there's no tomorrow. Spend like there's no tomorrow. Credit cards became so popular at that time. You know, my friend and I, Karen, were just talking the other day about how we had, like, you just roll out your wallet and you would have this like 20 something credit cards. Every single store had a credit card. Every single, you had gas cards, you had Weather Vane cards, you had Macy's cards. And you know, we just lived like there was no tomorrow. And you had so much debt that, it just created quite a financial disaster that 27 years later, we're still trying to get out of. Christy and Rachel made it back. Welcome back, ladies.
Thank you. I'm so sorry. We're not quite sure what happened.
That's okay. You know, like live radio, that happens. And there's a lot of technology that has to work correctly for us. So I'm just glad that Alex was able to get you back. And Christy, you were in the middle of explaining you were in the middle of talking. So we'll let you go back to finish your thought.
Yes. So basically, I'm not entirely sure where I left off. I know I was at the conclusion, but then I realized I was talking to myself.
That's what motherhood's
that
like, right?
For me, actually. But basically, I was saying that when we come, I actually lost my train of thought, if I'm being completely honest. I'm sorry, we were mad dashing.
That's okay. That happens. We were talking about just, you know, how do we get our spouses to heaven and what do we do to help support the other person in that goal?
That's right. We were talking about how marriage makes you less selfish also, how you truly do die to self is what I was trying to get at. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
We were talking about the spa day and I was saying, you know, that can be expensive to go and have a spa day just because you want it. And that money could be better served for your marriage elsewhere. And that time away from your husband could be better served as time with your husband. You know, you go buy some callus removers or some nail polish or nail files or whatever. And then you run some water in your bathtub and you make it a date, you know, and you, you stop and you ask, how is this going to impact my husband? How is he going to feel if I do this? And I think it kind of makes you a little more cognizant of the end result and the end game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great advice.
That, you're less selfish, and you know, hopefully you can model that to your children as well to help them get to heaven.
And that really ties into what I was talking about while we were waiting to get you back on. It was, and because I see you also have our talk called Faithfully Frugal, that when my husband and I got married, we were young, we're 21, 23. He had just gotten his first job. It's the first time really having real money, quote unquote, real money. And I lived in the 80s where everything was just like doom and gloom and you lived like there was no tomorrow. And it was a very selfish time. And I don't think we thought about how we're going to get each other to heaven. I just thought about spending his money. And here we are 27 years later, still trying to dig out from those mistakes and, you know, being misguided. So I think it's so beautiful that so young that you are both so aware of how your behavior impacts your husband, impacts your family, your children, and how, you know, your decisions, bringing God into them really does transform what you do and what your marriage looks like. Is that kind of what you hope people will get when they come to Hail Mary or listen to your podcast? You could tell a little bit about that as well.
Yeah, definitely. We are both very passionate about living the life that God wants us to live, but also living a faithful, happy life. And, you know, you can't be happy when you're in debt, and you can't be happy when you have all those pressures and stress beating you down on your family and yourself. And we both knew that going into our marriages and coming out of the other side now that we're married, we definitely want that for ourselves. And we want other people to get inspiration that it's not all doom and gloom, that there's happiness at the end of the rainbow, even if you're going through some struggles, which we both did. Even more newlyweds, we go through struggles, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So they're just trying to find that end hope, like always having hope and faith in God that, you know, God can get us through it, you know? So what, we can't afford that car, but we can definitely look on the internet and find some outrageous cars that are funny looking and look like this cool cars, you know, laugh at that and, you know, it's probably just strengthening your marriage along the way, because I think that's what any struggle does in any marriage. And the more struggles you have, the stronger your marriage is going to be, obviously, since, you know, going on 32 years of marriage, you would know that, you know, how strong your marriage is just by going through that struggle. And you guys, you know, can look back and laugh on it or not laugh or be like, oh, remember that time, eye roll.
You never know. Well, and I think that we can all agree that struggles are just going to be a constant. You might not know they are, but you can plan that they are going to be in your marriage for the rest of its lifetime, you know? So I think what we hope that they can get from Hail Mary is maybe some perspective for how other people deal with some struggles, maybe some solidarity because they're dealing with those same struggles, and maybe some fun, creative spins on things that you can do while you're struggling. Because just because you're in debt and you're working really hard and throwing all of your extra money at debt to get out of it doesn't mean that you can't have fun and nurture your relationship and your marriage at the same time. So we hope that we inspire people, and we hope that we offer those kinds of things to people, both through the blog and the podcast.
And what is the name of the podcast, and how can we listen to it?
Okay, so the podcast is called Fiat. Since we're Hail Mary, we thought that we would borrow from her awesome yes.
Sweet.
So Fiat stands for faith in all things, because God has given us life and we seek to find God in everything, including, you know, finding God in the bubbles. So we call our podcast Fiat, faith in all things, and we do one every Friday. And you can just actually find them at www.hailmary.org. You can actually search for Fiat and you can get a list of all of our past archived episodes. And like I said, the new ones hit every Friday.
So do you have one coming out tomorrow then, obviously?
We do. And actually, we're going to be chatting about the Benedict option and its draw.
Really? That's a fascinating topic. What made you, what is that? And what made you decide to go there? That's fascinating.
So the Benedict option is, as I understand it, it's been around for a long time, this idea. But recently there's been a book written, and I believe that it's entitled The Benedict Option. So it's been like all over Catholic social media, these people who have been debating whether or not we should take it. And essentially it's creating a small community of like-minded people. So creating like, I don't want to say a commune, but creating like a Catholic neighborhood, a Catholic village, you know?
And it's fun to talk about it because I wouldn't mind drive zoning a Catholic neighborhood. But I was just like, you're crazy. I'm like, no. I'm
well, and there is a community not far from us. We're in Texas, in North Texas, so in Oklahoma.
Is it Spring Creek?
Something creepy.
Yeah, yeah, something like that.
There is actually a small community that is very similar. It's not near anything, so most people are like, oh, no, I don't think so. I need my Kroger, you know. So we have a friend who actually goes on family retreats there.
She does their family vacation for spring break. They make a pilgrimage out there because it's actually an abbey. Mm-hmm. And they, it's a I Facebook stalk people quite a lot.
She's honest about it.
I'm going to be honest. I Facebook you. But that's her funny. Family vacation photos are so wonderful and loving. And when they go, because that's what their family does every spring break, that's their vacation. They go camping and then they'll go to mass every day and you get to see the pictures of the Abbey, which is beautiful. You know, I'm like,
Well, I will look forward to listening that tomorrow. That's Fiat Faith in All Things podcast, and you can find that on hailmary.org. We have about a minute left. I can't believe how fast this morning went. What's up for you next, and where can we find you?
Well, you can find us at www.hailmary.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Pinterest. And next for us this month, we're actually going to be chatting about the sacraments. Because Little Miss is making her first Holy Communion this particular upcoming month. And then we'll be talking about Easter. We actually have some coupon codes. We have a review. Okay, well, we have a book review. Like, we have a product review.
Unfortunately, ladies, we're out of time. I'll have to link to all of that because I have to do the closing. You've been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.